Welcome to Fellowship Talks, your weekly connection to the life and ministry of Fellowship Bible Church. It is our desire that this podcast will reinforce your worship on Sundays and encourage you as you live your life for Christ this week. Here are your hosts, Dan Schaefer and Amy Scrivanos.
Welcome to Fellowship Talks. This is the podcast made specifically for Fellowship Bible Church in Central Arkansas. We are one church in multiple locations. We have our Cabot campus, our Benton campus, Midtown, West Little Rock, and our Fellowship Espanol campus. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm your host for Fellowship Talks, and I'm here as always with my co-host, Amy Scrivanos.
Hey, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
January 2nd.
Wow.
This is great. You guys ready to rock and roll through the new year? Amy, are you ready to rock and roll through the new year?
I am. I'm excited about this year.
Have you had to write 2019 yet?
I haven't yet.
I always screw up. Always screw up.
I'll still write 18 probably until like 18. April.
Yes, that's right. That's right. Well, Amy, this is a really special podcast because we had an opportunity to sit down with a guest to Fellowship named Jill Briscoe. She came in last month at the beginning of December to share with Fellowship Women at the Women's Christmas Gathering. And she came in as a guest speaker to share some of her story and to just speak truth into the women of Fellowship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really was such a special night. I had heard Jill speak before and knew a little bit of her story. And so I was just really excited to get to hear from her again. She's one of those women that, as you look at her life, you know, she shared with us that she's 83 years old. And as you look at her, I should say 83 years young, because as you look at her, she is just still just really running hard. And you just see her passion for the Lord and her passion for sharing that with other people. And it's really inspiring.
Yeah, yeah. And so we had a chance while she was here to sit down just to ask her a few questions that we wanted to share with you here on Fellowship Talks. And we need to say on the front end of this conversation that you'll hear, while we were recording with her, they were doing some renovations in the chapel, which is right on the other side of the wall of where we're sitting recording. Uh-huh. They were working on replacing some carpet, so you may hear some voices in the background yelling across the chapel. You may hear some pounding as they pull up carpet, put new carpet down, all those things. But just go with it as you listen to the conversation here with Jill.
Yeah, I'd love to give a little background on her before we listen as
Yeah, go right ahead.
So she was born on June 29th of 1935 in Liverpool, England. She's a British-American author, editor, and speaker. She's written or co-written over 40 books. She's the founder of Just Between Us, a magazine of encouragement and equipping women for a life of faith. She actually shared that magazine with us while she was here. I got a copy. It's great. And she's ministered extensively over on every continent, teaching and encouraging, and served on the boards of World Relief and Christianity Today. She and her husband, Stuart, serve as ministers at large with Elmbrook Church and can be heard regularly on Telling the Truth, their worldwide media ministry. So they live in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and have 3 grown children and 13 grandchildren.
Fellowship, you're going to enjoy this conversation.
Well, Jill, this morning, we're going to go quickly this morning before your flight. We have about 4 questions.
Okay.
And one of the things we wanted to start with was last night you shared some of your story of how you came to faith through a nurse sharing with you in the hospital. And I remember from hearing some of your story previously that C.S. Lewis had a role in some of your story. Could you share a little bit of that with us?
Yes. I never heard him on the BBC. We have one channel today, only one radio channel, but program, but it has channels. It has a history channel. It has a health channel. He was on History Channel because he was a medieval history teacher at Oxford. And so in his lectures, he was also an atheist. He would throw in little comments like, now I'm an atheist. Well, why wouldn't I be? Let me tell you what the church was doing just before the Reformation in Europe. That's why I'm an atheist. And then he'd go on.
And how old were you listening to him at this
point? I never heard him.
But, oh, you never? Okay.
But other students at Oxford and Cambridge and actually all over the world were beginning to go into his, as he began to throw things in, his walk towards Christ. And then he said, no, I'm not an atheist. I can't be. I have to know everything there is to know there isn't a God. And now I'm an agnostic. And then he would define it. An agnostic says, I don't know if there's a God. There might be. And peace, I don't know. Then about 2 months later, I used to be an agnostic. Now I'm a deist. I do believe in a God, but I believe he's unknowable. And then a little bit further on, glorious day, apparently. I didn't hear it. I am now a totally convinced Christian. And England began to write in stamps, envelopes, folks. I'm very old, okay, to the BBC, because you could write in questions on any channel. And one of them said, Professor Lewis, surely you don't believe in heaven and hell. And I was in the lunch line at Homerton College, Cambridge, just messing around, having jokes, put my hands out here. And today, I cannot remember who did it. I couldn't see a face, but a piece of paper with Lewis's quotes on heaven and hell. And I left the lunch line. I went to my little Cambridge room, and I read them. And one of them said, there is a door opened in the pitiless walls of the world, and one day we shall follow our great captain inside. A very famous Lewis quote. Mm-hmm. And because I've been searching all my life, my heart began to beat, but I didn't know how to talk to God. So I just knelt down and said, I don't know what to say, so please read me, God. And apparently he did. And within 2 weeks, I was in hospital and saved.
Wow. That's amazing.
So Lewis came from Oxford, took the chair at Cambridge. And I was there 4 years. In my third year, I had a year of the debates in the chamber with God's names. If I threw them out to you now, you would know who would come and do the debates, science and religion. And I had my seminary, I had my Bible school, I had more than any would get from the Christian leaders at that time.
So you mentioned that at first you didn't know how to listen to God or how to speak with God.
Yes.
But as you shared your story over the years, one thing that stands out is that you do communicate very closely with God. What would you tell someone who is asking you how to better communicate or to talk with God?
I would say to them, if you have a problem with prayer, which is what you're talking about, pray about it. Nobody did. They ask people like me, or I ask pastor, or you know, or somebody that Jenny, who led me to Christ. And she said, I told her my story of how I'd said, "Read me, God." I didn't even know words to use. And she said, "You can go on like that, Jill." Because it says that when you don't know, in the Bible it says, when you don't know how to pray for, as you should, the Holy Spirit will pray for you and in you. He'll tell you. Now, how does that happen? Is it a thought? Is it from reading the scriptures? It could be both those things. Always reading the scriptures. You have to ask the text questions and always ask the Holy Spirit before you do. As I read this, you read it once. Then you say, Lord, now you read it to me, and you read it again. And as you read it again, you believe, you say, in Jesus' name, devil, keep your hands off my mind at the moment, thoughts out of them, and believe that he will if you ask God to protect your mind. Now, Lord, I will believe the thoughts that come into my mind are from you, because the problem is he tempted Jesus with scripture.
Yep.
And it sounded all scriptury and right, which it was half, but it wasn't right context, as you know. And Jesus corrected him, basically. So until, if any of us ever know the Bible well enough, I'll tell you an experience I had that made me realize this. I was on the plane on 9/11 that was too late to get into Chicago and went to Gander, Newfoundland. When I got there, there were 47 planes that day when the planes hit the towers that went to the near, all the airspace was closed, all the ground was, and we were diverted to. When we got there, Gander was full, so they took us by bus 35 miles into the nowhere in Canada, Gambo. Always wanted to go to Gambo, you know.
Maybe not like that.
For 8.5 days with my plane load, 418 people, six different nationalities on my plane. And I had left my Bible when he came on with the emergency. Emergency, emergency, get your, you know, everything. The things came down, everything, before he landed there. I was sitting next to Stuart, who put me on the plane. We'd been in Russia and gone on to Ireland. I was on my own, but sitting next to a young doctor who turned out to be an atheist, actually. And there was a horrible noise. And he said to me, "I'm a million mile flyer, and I've never heard that before of you." And I said, "No, I haven't." And he said, "I think we're going down." I said, "I do too. We all believe because it was the emergency stuff happening, telling us. Actually, we all dive for that thing we never read, the card." And I was very angry with myself at my reaction because I honestly believed we were going down and I was going to die. And I looked for my Bible and I'd left it above me. And I was then totally dependent because also we had to leave everything and go on the bus for 8.5 days and just the pillow and the blanket. I've never done that before. I've kept it with me now on my memory. And what they did at Cambridge is they got me into the Navigator's memorization, 500 verses with the context, with the verse a month. And I'd done that. And then I'd stopped. But I had those 1,000 verses, and that was all. And immediately I said, "Okay, Lord." And I did apologize. I said, "I love you dearly. I just didn't expect to see you today. I don't want to die." And I think I heard him say, in fact, I'm sure I did, "Jill, I made you to live. I understand you shouldn't want to die, but let's try a little bit harder now, Jill." Okay. And I was for 8 days without a Bible until they put us in the Salvation Army later, halfway through. And then, of course, I was in heaven. And we started prayer meetings and, you know, and it was amazing. And I got a Bible. But learn scripture off by heart. And every time I try, every time I do my quiet time and I read scripture, I read it. And then I ask the Holy Spirit to read it to me, in a sense, read it again, thinking about it. And then ask the text questions.
That's really good.
And your Bible study is essential to your prayer life.
Absolutely. So. Well, Jill, how have you seen God transform your life since you came to know Jesus?
Oh, goodness. Well, this Holy Spirit thing. I went back to see Jenny when I was dismissed from hospital. And each time she'd tell me to do something, and I'd do it. Like, go and lead somebody to Jesus this week. And I'd do it. And proudly bring her my first convert. And she would look at me and say, "Only one." I said, "You only said one." "Well, I won't make that mistake again." And she pushed me and pushed me and pushed me. Seven nurses the first day I came to Christ. She pushed me into telling. Tell her what we did last night. I didn't tell her. I did everything she told me. And your question was,
how have you seen God transform your
life? Yes. It was her help with scripture. She said, "You'll find." I said, "How will I know what to do now I'm a Christian?" I'm totally. She said, "Internally, the Holy Spirit will tap you on your shoulder." And 2 days later, I found that happening. I was lying in bed and my mouth was foul. And it was like somebody lived in me and was saying, not now. It was an internal check. I can't explain it. And I don't want to because God does this differently for everyone. But ask him. We struggle. We wait till we go to a Bible study. Say, "God, I need your spirit. You've promised to explain to me what I don't understand. And to highlight, Holy Spirit, what I need at this point in my life." And so as you're reading it, ask it questions. And what she did was helpfully, she said, ask four things. Is there a promise to claim? Is there a command to obey? Is there a warning to heed? Is there something about Jesus, something about you? And I wrote that in the front of my Bible. So I just read it through once. Then the second time, I read it through saying, Holy Spirit, help me to get this. Who's standing in the shadows? Who's in this story? What is it again? The third time through, I asked those questions and would stay 20 minutes, half an hour, scribbling.
Yeah.
And that's how... It's a safe way. It's one way.
Mm-hmm.
But prayer, how do you learn? All of you learn differently. That helped me because that's the way I learn. Mm-hmm. And we should teach the way people learn, not one size fits all.
Mm-hmm. So did your life begin to immediately look different after you came to Christ?
It did, because I had Jenny.
Yeah.
She lied to me.
She lied to you?
Yeah. About she plunked three books down. The second day, I said, what are these? She said, well, one's on missions. Do you know what that is? I said, I've never heard of them. What do you mean? She said, read the book, and I want a book report in a month. Another one was on basic theology.
Mm-hmm.
And what was the third one on? I can't even remember. But she's so, anyway, this went on and pushing me into witnessing and everything. And so then I left. She said, second day, I'm praying you won't get well very soon. I said, what? Thanks. She said, I've got a lot to tell you and I've heard your language.
Mm.
And it was my language, bad language, that she attacked first. And she said, she gave me that image. She said, it'll be like someone's living inside you and tapping you on your shoulder. Not now.
Mm.
And that helped me. It was a check, however that happens, and it'll be different in all of you. But there'll be a, oops, because he's holy, and if he hears you blaspheme, he doesn't like it. So you feel his grief. Mm. You can grieve the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. You can resist the Spirit. And take those words and get in concordance and just see what the Spirit does inside you. That shouldn't be explained or minimized or put into a box or everybody does it this way.
Mm.
It's just ask the Spirit.
Yeah. Jenny very intentionally discipled you as a young girl. She pushed material in front of you to educate and to learn. She pushed you to share your new faith with other people.
Exactly.
She pushed you to pray and to learn, to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. She didn't go easy on you. When you came to Christ.
No, she didn't. I asked her one day, I said, she lied to me, does every new believer do this? She said, yes. So later I said, you lied to me. Good heavens. But she said, Jill, what? She said, I had to take advantage. You did everything I said.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I think we have time for one last question.
Okay.
Last night, Jill, you were speaking to a group of women and you shared, someone asked you the question, how do you set boundaries in your life to keep you from experiencing burnout? Mm-hmm. And I really thought that your answer was just so beautiful. And I wondered if you would just take a minute and share a little bit about how you answered that question.
Well, we're really talking about discipline. Think of the word. Discipline, that's what it means. And so what did Jesus do? He discipled his disciples. And that's what somebody did for me and we should do for others, etc., etc. And so your question specifically was...
Well, the question that was asked last night was about how do you set boundaries in your life to not experience burnout?
That's right. We're all different, and I use that illustration of the boat, and think of Jesus saying to Peter, I want your boat, and then Jesus gets in Peter's boat, Luke chapter 5, and he's the Lord of the ship, and then from then on it's what he says, "Go, let's go fishing, I know where the big fish are, I go over here, you just do what you're told, you just say yes. And that's really the be-all and end-all of it, really. It's submitting to authority who knows me better than I know myself. First, God's authority, but he uses people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I burn out, and I have a whole book of chapters of all the times I've burned out. I have gone for help to whoever that's around. And take the boat thing. I've overloaded my boat. I've sunk a lot of times. I am married to a very godly man. He's the inspector of my ship. Mm. And he'll go around and say, well, good heavens, no wonder. You know, and let me see, you really don't need to carry this burden, Jill, but you do need to go on with this. Why don't you get so-and-so to help you with this? You need to go on doing that. Well, that's the thing that's sinking me, Stuart. Yes, so it's because you're trying to do it yourself. Mm. So you must go on. But let's see, who could you get to do this? Or, you know. Mm. And so my ship was not able. I'd overloaded it. And you need somebody that knows you better than yourself. And it doesn't need to be a husband or a leader. It can be your best friend. Mm-hmm. Just somebody that really knows you. Mm-hmm. And say to them, you know, I'm having a real problem here. Well, and they'll know you as well as that. Some of my best advice has come from people that aren't believers. Mm. You know, non-believers can give you good advice. They're not all evil, totally. They're not all, you know. And like my parents. Mm-hmm. I only found out my dad was a Christian to his funeral, which was good news. Backslider. And sat and watched little, beautiful Roman Catholic nurse my mother into heaven. Mm-hmm. It wasn't me. I watched God, and he said, you go and tell people that think their parents didn't find Christ, that if they prayed in faith, just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mm.
Yeah.
And just believe it happened. Mm. So.
Mm. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us this morning, Jill.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks, Ms. Prisco. Yeah, we really appreciate you being with us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
What a great conversation that we were able to have with Jill. It was so good to sit down with her.
I know. I feel like every time I hear her, I just glean these little nuggets of wisdom from her life and from her walk with the Lord. It's neat to have that opportunity to talk with her.
Well, her story is about just living at a time where C.S. Lewis was active in his journey, his faith journey. Those are really interesting to me.
They really are.
Yes, I'm going to look her up on YouTube and hear more about that. I know that she has plenty of videos out there. Mm-hmm. Well, Fellowship, if you have questions for us here at Fellowship Talks, for me or Amy, we want to encourage you. You can email us at fellowshiptalks@fellowshiponline.com. We'd love to hear your questions. Mm-hmm. We'd love to take your suggestions for the podcast, maybe different stories that we can share and feature here for the rest of our body across all of our campuses to hear. Well, that's it for today. Happy New Year, Fellowship. It was good to be with you.
That's right. Thanks for listening.
Until next time, Fellowship, I'm Dan.
And I'm Amy.
For As You Go, this is Fellowship Talks.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fellowship Talks. We hope this podcast will help you be a more effective disciple of Jesus Christ as you love God and you love others in your daily context. Fellowship Bible Church exists to make disciples who live by God's grace and for His glory at home and across the world.